The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
This is our next MLS Soccer Sunday, an Eastern Conference matchup for playoff positioning. The third-place Columbus Crew hosting the first-place Philadelphia Union Sunday, 3:30 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back on a very busy Thursday to our studios. We're live at the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Heineken. I am Greeny, but I am by no means alone. I got the full football crew ready to go. I've got Heather and Paul ready with the very latest from Wisconsin, because there's news for the Big Ten, and it isn't especially good. Big news on this Thursday. Let's crank up an hour here on Get Up. We start with this. Cam has his critics, but you may be surprised to hear who the latest is. You'll hear who's telling the quarterback it has to get better now as we get up with you. Then Tom Brady addressing the elephant in the room, his age, and how he's using it to his advantage in his second act. Plus, a young man with the world at his feet may have to make the toughest decision of his life sooner than he could have ever expected. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with this huge weekend in the NFL that kicks off tonight with the Falcons and the Panthers, and then we get to the Sunday matchups. And so much at stake as the Cowboys visit Philadelphia. Hard though it may seem to believe, the winner will be alone in first place in the NFC East. Meanwhile, the NFC West leading Seahawks, 5-1, hosting the 4-3 Niners, who are a game back right now of all the wildcard teams in the NFC. We also have the first ever meeting between Big Ben and Lamar Jackson as starting quarterbacks. The highest combined win percentage in the series history between the Steelers and Ravens. And then we get to the big one in the AFC East, the struggling Patriots at the Bills. Bill Belichick has 35 wins against Buffalo, tied for the most by any coach against any team in the Super Bowl era. But these have not been your usual Patriots. And speaking of their struggles, their quarterback coach Jed Fish said this about Cam Newton, quote, "There's clearly some times that we haven't pulled the trigger fast enough, and therefore we're hitching a couple extra times or holding onto the ball a little bit longer than we would like to. He has to continue to do a better job reacting and understanding that the looks are always going to be a little bit different. They're always going to be a little bit faster on Sundays, and he is going to have to quickly translate the game from the practice field to the game field." That's a lot of words right there. And so let's see if we can figure out what they mean with Dominique and Adam Schefter and Louis Riddick. Neek, there were a lot of words. What did they mean?
Nah, I'm shocked that they had that many words from a Patriots assistant coach, especially that specifically criticizing a player. It seems to me like the message, they want a message out, and they're getting it out there. And if they're trying to communicate more directly with Cam through the media, or they're trying to communicate to everyone else, I don't know exactly what they're trying to do, but that is certainly odd. I think that Cam will bounce back, but that doesn't bode well, having a quarterback coach come out and say all these things about how your quarterback needs to get better publicly.
Louis, this has been so confounding, because early this season we were talking about MVP caliber Cam. He looked like he was back. And then earlier this week on this show, Ryan Clark said he looks like he's aged 5 years in the last 5 weeks. What are you seeing on the tape with Cam Newton, and can he turn it around Sunday?
Yeah, I'm seeing a football team, the one that hasn't practiced a whole lot, and I'm seeing defenses that have caught up to and made adjustments to the kind of things that Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, is trying to do when Cam is on the football field. And that is how seasons evolve. I mean, team, you make a point, the team makes a counterpoint. You try to adjust off of that counterpoint, and then they counter again. And when you're not practicing and everyone else is, then they start to get a little bit more comfortable with the kind of tendencies you're starting to show. So now all of a sudden, some of those looks that were so clean for you early in the season because teams didn't have that familiarity with you, they're not so clean anymore. And then when you layer on the top that on the fact that you haven't been out on the field very much, Cam was dealing with COVID, he wasn't around, he missed some time, then all of a sudden everything starts to slow down. Or rather, you know, your execution starts to slow down and it's not as sharp as it was before. And now you've got to pick it back up. Now, I will say this. it is kind of a departure from the way they normally do things as far as how they get messages to the players. Because in New England forever, it's been one voice, and that's worked very well. It's worked for 6 Super Bowl titles and 9 Super Bowl appearances. So for this to happen for a position coach, not even the coordinator, it wasn't even Josh McDaniels, it's the position coach, the quarterback coach, to make this comment. Look, nothing happens in New England without Bill say-so. Nothing. Zero. Nada. So for this to happen, obviously, you know, this is a place that holds, that really does define the word accountability when it comes to getting your job done. And so for them to kind of put that message out there that, hey, we're holding you accountable for the things that you need to do better, you know it's serious. It's always serious, but now you know it's serious for him. And Cam has admitted as much. He's already said, look, when he was driving home after last week's game, he said, you don't start playing better, you're going to be standing over there next to the coach. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. So we'll see how he responds.
Shefty, I have two separate sets of questions for you. The first is about the quarterback situation. We know they have Jarrett Stidham. We know there was a time we thought they were very high on him. Do you have any sense of how close they could be to making a move at the quarterback spot?
Haven't heard that at all, and Bill Belichick played that down this week. So there's no reason to think that they would do that until they actually do at this point in time. And it's interesting when you watch Cam, because basically the last 2 weeks, and I don't know if this is something physical with him or what the situation is, but he has ignored basically one half of the field. All of his throws have gone to the left the last 2 weeks. He has made barely any throws to the right side of the football field. I don't know if that's intentional. I don't know if that's physical. I don't know what that is, but he's basically ignoring half the field. They're ignoring half the field. And the New England Patriots right now, Greeny, are sitting there at 2-4. This week I had the Bills tight end Tyler Kroft on my podcast, and he actually said, we're not going to take this team lightly. And I thought to myself, when in the last 2 decades have we heard anybody say anything about taking the Patriots too lightly? The last 2 decades. But that's where we are with New England sitting at 2-4, where we have a Buffalo Bills player saying that we're not going to take the Patriots lightly. That's good to know.
It's remarkable. Yes, considering we just said Belichick has beaten them 35 times. But that brings me quickly to my second question. Because if there's one thing Belichick has always done, it's made a lot of deals. The trade deadline is Tuesday. If the Patriots lose Sunday, they will be, practically speaking, 3.5 games out of the division lead. Could you see any selling off? Are you hearing anything about that possibility from the Patriots going into Tuesday?
Listen, they are so smart about these things usually, and they are advanced, and they always move on from players sooner rather than later. But let me remind you, next year they're going into a year where they're going to have basically more cap space than anybody. They have the flexibility to do anything they want next offseason, in an offseason where there is expected to be a record number of free agents due to the drop in the salary cap.
Right, so we will keep an eye on all of that. Guys, thank you very much. Stay with me. More on the NFL as we go. But the really big news yesterday in football came from college, where number 9 Wisconsin has canceled the game Saturday against Nebraska and paused all team-related activities for at least 7 days because of COVID. 6 players, 6 staff members, including the head coach, have tested positive.
We just felt it was important, if we wanted to continue play for the year, to make this move right now and control the virus. Your natural tendency is, let's get back on the field and get right back at it. But that's where, you know, you have to put priorities in order and make sure that our number one concern is health and safety of our athletes.
We were wanting the opportunity, and our players were wanting the opportunity to play. And then to not have that opportunity, that's where there's a disappointment.
All right, Heather Dinich, our insider, and Paul Feinbaum rejoin me here. Heather, we spoke earlier this morning, for those just joining us, and you explained how in the Big Ten the protocol is that if a player tests positive, he can't come back and play for 21 days. And we explained that these games are not being postponed. Wisconsin and Nebraska has now been canceled. It won't be played. So, from the people you've talked to, how will that impact the Big Ten, the potential Big Ten championship, and maybe more importantly, how will it impact the Big Ten's chances of getting a team into the college football playoff?
Well, Greeny, the Big Ten recently released its guidelines for qualifying for the Big Ten Conference Championship game. And as it stands right now, if every team in the conference plays an average of 8 games, teams have to play 6 games in order to qualify for the conference championship game. Now, If teams play fewer than 8 games and that number drops, the average number drops, so does the benchmark. So, for example, if the teams play in the Big Ten play 7 games, then you've got to play 5 games. It's no fewer than 2 under the average of Big Ten games played. Now, that being said, the college football playoff does not have a benchmark for a minimum number of games to be played in order to qualify for a semifinal. Does that mean that they would put in a 2-0 team? Probably not. Would they put in a 5-0 team? Maybe they would.
That is where I wanted to go with you, Mr. Finebaum, because you said earlier on the show, at the end of the day, all this is about Ohio State. We get it. There are other Big Ten teams that have those aspirations, but we all know Ohio State is that kind of good. What would be a reason, in your opinion, as one who lives in this every day, what would be a reasonable way for the College Football Playoff Committee to handle Ohio State and the number of games they may wind up playing?
Greeny, I think the key for Ohio State is who are they playing? And really, one of their two biggest games of the year outside of the Big Ten championship game is this weekend. So that's good. They're going to get the Penn State game in. That would be a tremendously quality win, even though Penn State lost to Indiana the other day. The Michigan game would also figure large, and obviously the Big Ten championship game. But if they miss a game against somebody in the lower division, it's not going to have that big of a deal. In a truncated season, quality of competition is going to matter, in my opinion, with the College Football Playoff Committee.
But give me a number. I mean, the SEC teams and others are going to wind up playing 9-10 games. If a Big Ten team winds up playing 6, how's that going to work?
It will hurt. And I think on top of that, and we haven't even gotten to the Pac-12 yet, I mean, they're playing an even more truncated season. But if you miss a game, I don't think it's going to kill your chances. But, you know, if you have a loss, it probably will. So I think Ohio State is still reasonably good shape. The bad news here is Wisconsin, because after last Friday night, they looked like a contender, but without their quarterback for a couple of weeks, missing this week, maybe next, that could really be a big issue for them.
All right, guys, such interesting stuff here. Looking ahead to a good weekend. Thank you both for getting up with us here. And we have Ohio State, Penn State, Saturday night on ABC. It's a huge game. Justin Fields looking to follow up a great performance, leading number 3 into Happy Valley to take on Penn State. That's Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. And you can watch it on the ESPN app. Coming up here, Tua set to make his debut against Aaron Donald and the Rams. Why the pressure will be turned up on him, both literally and figuratively. Plus, will Tom Brady be the mentor Antonio Brown needs to make his stay in Tampa a success? How Brady has changed the entire culture of the organization. On the way, Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and this weekend we all get to see it. Tua getting his first NFL start. And in case you've forgotten, this is how he became a legend, coming off the bench as a freshman in the championship game, helping Alabama escape with a stunning win over Georgia. Then, of course, it's been almost a full year now since last we've seen him play, because his season was cut short with a dislocated hip, coming just 1 month after having ankle surgery mid-season. So the injuries have been a factor. But even with the health concerns, the Dolphins, with the 5th pick, made him the highest quarterback selected in franchise history since Bob Greasy in 67. Now just a game out of first in the division, Tua gets his first start this weekend. Here he is talking about taking that first hit.
It's been a long time coming, but I mean, that's just the nature of the game. I don't know what the hit's going to feel like. Every hit is different that you take in football. So I'm really not too sure. And I don't think you could ever prepare for hits. It's just something you got to go out knowing it's going to happen.
All right, so Dolphins-Rams, one of the really interesting games. And I have 3 separate questions that fascinate me about this return. Lewis, I'm going to start with you. Well, let's start with what he was talking about. If you haven't been hit in a football game since the last time, and that time you got seriously hurt, take me through the psychology of what that is like going back out onto that field the next time Tua doing it for his first time as a pro.
Well, I can only imagine that right now he just wants to, he's thinking, you know, how am I going to feel after it's over? Am I going to be able to get up, get back into the huddle, and just get on with the next play? Because, you know, the last time he was hit and he felt that kind of physical contact, I mean, he was in the kind of excruciating pain that would make many people consider just walking away from the game. And that That I can only imagine what that would feel like. I've never been in that situation, and quite honestly, I was much more, you know, the guy who was trying to deliver hits to people instead of take hits, you know what I mean? And I've never stood back there like a quarterback. So I think that the mental part of the game, the mental part of this for him is really significant. Because think about this too. Now, they're not just going up against any old team. Okay, number 99 from the Rams is one of those guys who will make quarterbacks really start playing mental gymnastics with themselves as far as how they play the position and how they physically react. And Brandon Staley, that defensive coordinator at the Rams, is one of those people who has been very multiple in terms of the types of looks he has been giving people. And it's not just 99. It's not just Aaron Donald that you see on your screen. Have you seen how much they've been blitzing Jalen Ramsey now that he plays the nickel position in their sub packages? And have you seen how Leonard Floyd has been rushing the passer? Have you seen how Michael Brockers, Ebukam, how all these guys have been playing? This is a formidable first start opponent for a quarterback who's coming off of a devastating injury now, putting the whole, you know, the fortunes of a franchise on his back. That's a lot for anyone, but that's why they drafted him, and that's why that game is so intriguing.
And that brings me to my second question perfectly. And Damian Woody, as an offensive lineman, it's for you. Do you consider it risky to have his first game be against that guy, Aaron Donald?
Well, it's always a risk when you're lining up playing in the National Football League. But I think, you know, the reason I like what Brian Flores did is this Miami Dolphins team is on the arrow pointing up. And what I mean by that is their performance. You know, they've been performing well up front on the offensive line. They've been performing well on offense. So the one thing that you have to do, and particularly talking about Aaron Donald, you got to change the launch point. You can't sit back there and think that Tua is just going to drop back and just going to slice and dice his way against that Rams defense. Because guess what? The best play in football plays right in the middle of that offensive line. You're going to have to do some clever things offensively to give your young quarterback a chance. Play action game, rolling them out, just doing some different things so he doesn't have to see 99. But guess what? 99 is going to be, he's going to show up and he's going to be there all game long.
And Neek, that brings me to my final point, which is, you know, Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow have been great, but they've been doing it with almost no pressure to win. Tua steps in and for a team, could wind up being tied for first place if they win on Sunday. What do you think of that idea, the pressure that's on him to step in expecting to win?
I think the pressure that's on him relative to the other rookie quarterbacks is enormous, but the pressure that's on him this week relative to the pressure that I think he sees in his future, like playoffs and Super Bowls, is nothing. So I wouldn't be concerned about him from a pressure standpoint, but I do think that this was an interesting move for a team that was pretty good but thinks that it can be great in the near future. And that's the move that you make in that situation, is you get this guy some experience. The last time I remember something like this where you had a quarterback that you thought was good and you went to a quarterback that was great was the Ravens, when they went from Flacco, a Super Bowl champion who was about an average quarterback, and they went midseason to Lamar Jackson, who took that team in the subsequent seasons up to great. So I think that the Dolphins should be really excited about their future and the potential growth that Tua will get this season and lead to them being a much better team in the coming years.
It is one of the most interesting games on the schedule for this weekend. We'll take a short break and talk about a whole bunch more of them, including, to put it bluntly, is Tom Brady's influence enough to keep it together with Antonio Brown in Tampa? We'll talk about that and more as we continue Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up with some quick eye candy. Dominique, explain to me what we're watching here. This is a game, as it says on your screen, in which the loser is the one who touches the trash can first. Just watch the guy in the blue. Just watch the guy in the blue avoid the trash can.
Ooh.
Oh, look at that.
I don't know. You want me to explain
it? Pretty seriously. I have no idea what to make of it whatsoever. As we continue, has Trevor Lawrence changed his thinking about declaring for the draft? Why that suddenly has become a bit more difficult? Next, Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up and headed to Tampa is that man, Antonio Brown, whose coach Bruce Arians says he looked fantastic in his first day of work with the team. He has serving right now the final week of an 8-game suspension. But all the attention is on his relationship with Tom Brady, who spoke yesterday about being a leader.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So it's I feel like there's sort of a little picture and a big picture question here. The little picture question is about, Dominique, you had suggested that you wouldn't take a chance on Antonio Brown in almost any other circumstance. Does the fact that Brady is there influence your thinking at all?
No, I mean, it doesn't necessarily. I think Tom Brady is a great person to have in a locker room, and his presence, I think, does stabilize a lot of things for people who kind of respond to situations in traditional manners. Nothing suggests that Antonio Brown is someone who has done that consistently. I think that it's possible he could stay on a straight and narrow for the number of months it takes them from now to get to the Super Bowl, but I don't think it's going to be because Tom Brady is around him. I don't think that Tom Brady's presence is that strong, but I do think for the rest of the team, having the best quarterback of all time show up and show interest in you and show interest in you succeeding and telling you how to be as great as he is, I think that's something that's invaluable.
How about the rest of that locker room, Damian Woody, when Antonio Brown, he is now there and working with the team, which he can do, working up towards the end of his suspension, which will expire after they finish their game on Monday night. How about the rest of that locker room with AB?
Well, listen, I think most players will say, you know, at the end of the day, can this play help us win football games? And now that remains to be seen because we haven't seen meaningful football from AB since 2018. I think the biggest difference in this situation is the team can get rid of AB at any time if he doesn't act in a way that's for the betterment of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I do think that Tom Brady is just having a huge influence in this locker room. Listen, I think when you see a guy like Tom, guys watch, you know, players like a Tom Brady day in and day out, how they prepare, you know, in the meetings, in the weight room, on the practice field. And Tom Brady knows, just being up in New England, that your best football has to come now in November and December. And I'm sure he's echoing those sentiments with all the players in that locker room.
And Shefty, that brings me to the bigger picture piece of this, because I did an essay earlier. A year ago at this time, the Buccaneers were 2-5 and their quarterback had 15 turnovers. Now look at where they sit today. But I have people telling me that Brady's presence in the building has been more significant than his play on the field as far as what he has brought to that organization. What kinds of things are you hearing from people down in Tampa?
Well, exactly that. And I want to go to that point and extend it to Antonio Brown, because I just think, just like Tom Brady's gotten the rest of that team to elevate its performance, he's had an influence on them. I think he's going to do the same thing for Antonio Brown. I think Antonio Brown feels indebted to Tom Brady for Tom Brady looking out for him. I think Tom Brady has helped him out during the time that he was away from football. And just like the rest of the players there, what you're asking, Greeny, feel a certain sense of obligation not to disappoint the GOAT. I think the same is true of Antonio Brown, and it all goes together. And it's one of the reasons that this team is playing at the level it is now, why it's become one of the best teams in all of football, which it is right now, because the defensive side of the football, they elevate their play during practice because they get fired up to go against Tom Brady on a daily basis. Antonio Brown's excited to be there to take that veteran minimum deal with no guaranteed money, with a lot of incentives, because he gets to work with Tom. And you showed the highlight there of the one game they played together in New England. And you could see Antonio Brown go over and give him a big hug and how much it meant to him to do that with Tom Brady. And he talked after the fact of New England releasing him about how he was sorry to disappoint Tom Brady. We'd love to play with Tom Brady. Well, he's got that chance again right now. And I think he wants to make it right with Tom.
And, Lewis, you have them Monday night in the last game they'll play without AB. So as you're looking at the tape, what are you envisioning Antonio Brown will be for that team when he is on the field with them?
Well, he's a movable chess piece that also happens to be a surefire Hall of Famer, which really is a pretty good position to be in if you're the Tampa Bay Bucks and you're Byron Leftwich and you're Bruce Arians and you're Tom Brady, because right now, even without him, although, you know, Chris Godwin's going to be out for the foreseeable future, we know he's going to be out this week. It could be longer with that fractured finger. The fact of the matter is they have got speed, they've got size, they've got running ability, they've got an offensive line that's playing well, and they've got Tom Brady. So when you put Antonio Brown into the mix, who quite honestly is uncoverable one-on-one, maybe uncoverable when you double-team him, It's just like you can say whatever you want. I mean, just think of the rosiest scenario possible within the context of this offense, and that's what you're probably going to get as long as he takes care of things when he's not in Tom Brady's presence, which is going to determine everything for his future going forward.
Again, we'll see them on Monday night, and then Antonio Brown will be eligible to start working with them in full on Tuesday. Meanwhile, now to my favorite part of the show, we'll work our way towards On the Clock. 7 weeks in the NFL books. The MVP race is heating up. Tom Brady leading the league in touchdown passes since week 3. But Russell Wilson maintains his lead for the season. Aaron Rodgers leads the league in total QBR. The only blemish on his resume was a week 6 loss in Tampa. So my first on-the-clock question this morning is for my friend Damian Woody. D. Wood, in your opinion, who's the MVP of the league right now? 45 seconds, go.
Yeah, Green, I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. I think that, you know, although he had the hiccup against the Arizona Cardinals where he threw 3 interceptions, I think when you look at what Russell Wilson has done for the Seahawks team, the whole mantra of let Russ cook, that's really been it this year. I mean, you look at the defensive side of the football for the Seattle Seahawks, this is not a typical Seahawks type of defense that we've seen over the years under Pete Carroll. This is a team that's offensively driven. They're not as run heavy as they've been, in the past. And they really put everything on the shoulder of Russell Wilson. And he's putting up the type of numbers that say that he's the MVP.
No, it's interesting. He's another one who wanted to bring Antonio Brown into his team. And Tampa Bay winds up beating them out for the receiver. All right, Shefty, you're up next. And it's a story that I saw on your Twitter feed yesterday. The NFL has made its plans for fans at the Super Bowl. Tell us all about it. 45 seconds.
Well, these are the current plans, Greeny. As of today, the NFL is planning to have 20% seating capacity at Raymond James Stadium for the Super Bowl in February. That means about 13,000 to 15,000 fans in attendance at the Super Bowl, depending on how many temporary seats the league also puts in. Again, If the restrictions are lifted and they can work with local and government officials and get more fans, the league will do that. But right now, today, it is planning to have up to 20% seating capacity at this season's Super Bowl.
Well, that's really something. If you just sort of picture, you and I have both been to a million of these. I saw it was in your tweet yesterday. It's the reality, but boy, it's tough to imagine, isn't it? So that's Adam Schefter with his take on the Super Bowl. Finally, Lewis, this last one is for you. And I suppose I have some vested interest in this. Trevor Lawrence talking a lot about his future. And one of the things he seemed to suggest is that staying in school another year is a possibility. 45 seconds for your thoughts, Mr. Riddick. Go.
Yeah, I think that is a real possibility. Because, look, I remember having these conversations with Steve Young as to what really determines the success or failure at a high level for quarterbacks. And Steve Young used to tell me all the time, until he got to San Francisco, he didn't really know how his career was going to go early on until he got around that kind of program to where it is geared towards the development and nurturing and the sustaining of a quarterback's play at a very, very high level. And he knew that San Francisco would provide that given their history and what they had done and how they were on the cutting edge. When you're talking about Trevor Lawrence and he's looking at the prospects of potentially being drafted by the New York Jets, what do they have to offer him in order to really assure him that that is what he will get going forward? So if you're sitting here and you're Trevor Lawrence, you're absolutely having that tough conversation going, do I really want to come out and subject myself to that?
It's a really interesting conversation that we're hearing a lot of different places. Shefty, what are you hearing? I know that this is something that is just starting to pick up some steam. But you know what I'm talking about, the possibilities looking ahead to that. What kinds of things are you hearing?
Well, my own sense is that it's just Trevor Lawrence making a comment that he doesn't recognize will have the ramifications it does in the markets all across the U.S. that are buying for his services. It's a college kid saying, well, we'll see what happens, basically, and everyone running with that. Now, if you look at it from a practical standpoint, every year he stays in school, technically could cost him $25, $30, $35, $40 million. And from a business standpoint, it makes sense to come out and start the clock, to get the clock rolling towards his second NFL contract, which could pay him who knows how much money if he's the type of quarterback that everybody thinks he is, which is the best quarterback prospect to come out since Andrew Luck. So it makes no sense financially to stay in school as much as he wants to be there, particularly when he's engaged already, he's got his fiance. To move forward, begin to plan their future. And I just think it's a college kid making a comment that everybody takes and runs with.
That's fair enough. But D. Wood, you and I both know why some of this conversation is taking place. What are your thoughts as you consider the... Uh-oh. You know, he can't even stand to talk about it. The notion that the New York Jets might come up in here. I think D. Wood did that on purpose.
D. Wood looks good like that. He looks good.
My theory is that D. Wood did that on purpose. Well, that gives me the opportunity then to ask Lewis this question. Now, if you're running a franchise and you get some sort of word, because the other opportunity, it doesn't have to be going back to college. It can be doing what John Elway did a generation ago. It can be doing what Eli Manning did 20 years ago and just sort of making it clear there's some places I don't want to go. How does that work if you're running a front office and you have the first pick in the draft?
Yeah, I'll tell you how it works. It really is. It's a punch in the gut, and it's kind of a slap in the face, and really it's a reality check for you, for people to even be having these kind of conversations and having these kind of thoughts. Because what it is, it's a referendum on where you are at as far as your own program build and how people really judge your level of competency to help a young man like this out in terms of realizing his full potential. And I think what it would make me do is it would make me start looking inward and going, okay, how have we got here? Why are people talking about us like, hey, I don't want to go there. That place is radioactive. That place is going to be, you know, an absolute death knell for my career. Well, I don't want players thinking about my organization like that. But see, unfortunately, because of the turnover, because of the lack of competency that has been shown there, they've earned the reputation. So I think, you know, you can't be mad at it. You just have to kind of look internally and go, look, how do we make it attractive for a guy like this to want to come to a place like ours because he believes that we're going to take care of him and we're going to give him every chance to succeed. And see, that's where I think the conversation with Joe Burrow last year as far as Cincinnati was concerned, I think that's why it died down very quickly. Because Zach Taylor, for all intents and purposes, has a very good reputation in the NFL. It's just not the same for your team, Greeny, right now, unfortunately.
That's correct. And very conveniently, Damian Woody got his signal back right as I have to go to a break. But we will continue this conversation as we go. And we'll talk about one of the most stunning plays of the NFL season so far. Listen to this. One of our guys is sure he would have outrun DK Metcalf. Spoiler alert, it's not Shefty. Get Up is brought to you by Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Greeny with you in the studio, and we're with you now commercial-free for the next 13 minutes, and that is when First Take will come your way at the top of the hour, and they have a very special guest coming your way today. Floyd Mayweather will be live with Stephen A. and Max and Molly and company. He will be live at 11:30 Eastern time as part of First Take, which comes your way, as you see there, in 12 minutes. Again, we are with you commercial-free on Get Up until then. And it comes now to this. Major League Baseball will begin an investigation of the Dodgers' Justin Turner for his post-game actions after Game 6 of the World Series. By now, you know, he was pulled during the game because of a positive COVID test, returned to the field after the game to celebrate with his teammates, did not wear a mask the entire time. Major League Baseball released this statement yesterday, quote, following the Dodgers' victory, it is clear that Turner chose to disregard the agreed-upon joint protocols and the instructions he was given regarding the safety and protection of others. Turner's decision to leave isolation and enter the field was wrong and put everyone he came in contact with at risk. When MLB security raised the matter of being on the field with Turner, he emphatically refused to comply. Here's our baseball insider, Buster Olney. Buster, what is the latest you are hearing about this situation?
Greeny, that Justin Turner may well face suspension. Look, baseball wants to look into what his actions were after he was told that he tested positive. You know, when did he leave isolation? They want to ask questions about whether or not some Dodger personnel were involved in facilitating him and his movements. You know, baseball, by the time they got to the finish line of the World Series, they were really proud of the fact that they were able to put on a 60-game season and get through the playoffs, and they can't stand the fact, they're furious about the fact, that the last images of baseball in 2020 are with a player who just tested positive for coronavirus, potentially putting other players, other employees at risk, and they are going to come down with a hammer of some kind.
Yeah, for what it's worth, that image that you just saw there of him on the field for that photo when without the mask on, he's sitting next to the manager, Dave Roberts, who is a cancer survivor. So all of these things become very bad for the optics. Now, baseball's statement that I just read said that he, quote, emphatically refused to comply. Do we know exactly what that means?
What that means is that when he was informed by health and safety officials with Major League Baseball that he had tested positive and he needed to isolate, and he left that isolation, he told them in so many words, bug off. And he was going to go about his business. They went to him repeatedly to tell him, look, you are sick. You're potentially putting other people at risk, according to MLB sources. And he repeatedly just moved ahead.
All right, Buster Olney working the story for us here. We'll check in with you later. Buster, thank you. And I want to bring the players back in on this conversation because I think all of us, and certainly the three of you would better than I, understand how important it would be to a player to be out there to celebrate a championship, the crowning moment of your entire life at that point, certainly within the game, with your teammates. But these are such unusual circumstances. So, Dominique, I will start with you. Do you believe that Justin Turner should be suspended at the start of next season?
I mean, he absolutely should be suspended. He violated the rules. I think that a lot of times we think about those suspensions are supposed to scare people off in the future from doing the same thing. I think it's unlikely that we're going to have another situation, anything like that, where someone tests positive, the results come back towards the end of the clinching game of the World Championship. So that'll be interesting if that comes up. But I do understand what Turner did was irresponsible and dangerous and stupid and all that stuff. But I have to be completely honest. If I'm a player in that situation, I'm not sure how logical I can be in that. It's a lot of emotion. I would want to be there celebrating. I would want my teammates would want me there. And if I was his teammate, I would want him there. As stupid as it sounds and as irresponsible as it sounds, I understand why he did what he did. And I also understand why he's going to get suspended and deservedly so.
D, would you have won championships? You know what that feels like. If you were in that situation, would you have done what Justin Turner did?
Greeny, I would probably say in the emotions at that time, I don't know if I would have acted differently, to be honest with you. I understand the gravity of this whole situation, and I understand that we're living in a different moment, but when you're talking about a opportunity, a situation where you just won the World Series, I mean, think about it. This is something that you're part of a special fraternity. a special group of players, and you want to be out there to celebrate with your players. A lot of times, and all the guys on this panel can speak to it, speak towards it, emotions take over. And I'm sure at that particular point when he's trying to, you know, when people from MLB is trying to reason with him, he's like, you know what, damn all that, man. I only get this one opportunity. This might not ever come around again to get to celebrate with my teammates. So he'll get suspended, but I don't know if I would react differently.
What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I understand what Damian and Fox are saying here. But you know what? All you have to do really is talk to someone who's had COVID and someone who's struggled. And I have people who are close to me who have had COVID, who had family members be told they don't know if they're going to make it through the night. I've had people describe to me the vivid hallucinations that they had of death, of almost feeling trapped inside of their own body and couldn't do anything about it and felt as though they were dying and couldn't breathe and felt like someone was basically just taking the life out of them. Talk to those people and then equate that to whether or not that moment in time is worth potentially exposing someone to a disease that could do that to them. And then tell me if it's really worth what you feel as though in that moment is something that you deserve as far as your own personal gratification, you know, at that moment in time. And I get it. Look, we all play professional sports. We were all chasing championships. We're all chasing those special moments in time. But this is a serious thing that is going on, man. And if someone tells you you're 100% positive, you right now are a risk to everyone around you, and you go out and you just say, hey, you know what? The heck with it. In this moment in time, I'll take my chances. Because you're not just taking chances with yourself. You're taking chances with everyone else's life. And it's not just about optics anymore, man. It just isn't. This is an uncommon time. And if you want to blame someone, there's plenty of blame to go around as to why we're even in this situation. And that's just, it would suck. It would suck to have to be by yourself and be alone and be isolated in that kind of situation. I just hope no one else has to suffer because of it in the long run. Because there's plenty of people out there who already are, and I know some of them, and it's not pretty.
It's extraordinarily well said, Lewis, and I'm glad that you said it. Thank you very much for bringing that into the conversation. I think it needed to be here. In the meantime, let's move to our next subject, which is tonight's game between Atlanta and Carolina. And you know what's become of the Falcons season, right? Week 2, they somehow lost this game against the Cowboys because they somehow didn't remember how you could field an onside kick. Dallas outscoring the Falcons 16-0 in the final 5 minutes. Nearly identical story the following week. They had a 16-point lead against the Bears with 6.5 minutes to go, and they somehow managed to lose that game as well. And then this past Sunday, they had a game absolutely won against the Lions. Todd Gurley scored a touchdown when he was trying to stop, and then they lost on that game-winning touchdown from the Lions with literally 0 seconds left on the clock. So they're 3 plays away from being 4-3. However, that doesn't really mean anything in the NFL. They are actually 1-6. And I have heard some conversation about where it could all go with them. So I want to start as we look ahead to tonight's game, Shefty, quickly. I know there's an update on Christian McCaffrey's status. What are we hearing?
Essentially, the Panthers have until 4 o'clock today to activate him off injury reserve, Greeny. And I think the expectation is that they won't do that and that he will not play tonight and that they will have 10 days to rest him to get him ready for the next week when I think he will be back at that point in time. He's been considered a long shot to play all week long, suffered that high ankle sprain week 3. Nobody thought he would be out there tonight. We'll see what they wind up doing at 4 o'clock this afternoon, but the sense that I've gotten in talking to people this week is that he wouldn't be out there, and we'll see whether that's actually the case tonight. If he's not, more Mike Davis again.
Okay, and so then let me go back to the Falcons where I was just a moment ago. There have been some whispers here and other places about the possibility of Julio Jones being dealt, even the possibility of Matt Ryan being dealt. Could any of that happen before the trade deadline on Tuesday?
Well, let's be very simple about this. Absolutely not. They are not trading Julio Jones before the deadline on Tuesday. They are not trading Matt Ryan before the deadline on Tuesday. Arthur Blank, the team owner, Rich McKay, who is running the team right now, basically made it clear at the press conference in which they discussed the dismissals of general manager Thomas Dimitroff and head coach Dan Quinn that those two players were not moving on. Julio Jones is somebody that is staying there. There has been some speculation that's come up about whether the Falcons would trade him. I don't believe they've talked about it at all. I don't believe it's garnered any sort of consideration. There might be teams that quietly have reached out to them, but if they have, they have been told in no uncertain terms, no, Atlanta is not moving Julio Jones before Tuesday's trade deadline.
Fair enough. And so we will see them tonight. Again, that's a team that is three plays away from being 4-3 and right in the middle of everything. All right, let me bring everyone back in for our finish today. My favorite thing on our entire show yesterday was when we took a look at this now legendary play. Buda Baker with the interception, DK Metcalf with the incredible hustle and the ridiculous speed to chase him down. And Dominique Foxworth, you told us yesterday in no uncertain terms that he would not have caught you, that you would have outrun him to the end zone. My question is, would he have caught Lewis Riddick? Would DK Metcalf, if Lewis had made that interception, Dominique, would DK Metcalf have caught Lewis Riddick?
100%. Absolutely. The question is, at what point on the field would he catch him? Like, Lou, you had on linebacker pads. You was a middle linebacker playing safety. Yeah. It's no disrespect. No disrespect. He would have caught you. You would have hit him, but he would have caught
you. You're right. Hey, you're right. I would have knew he was coming, too. I would have been running half the time going, looking back like this. Bro, that's a scary sight. I dream about stuff like that, man. That's like a nightmare right there.
It absolutely is. Then he takes his helmet off and got hot pink hair, makes it even scarier. That man is a monster. He's a great football player. But he's not going to catch me. He might go get Lou. And he's definitely going to get Damian Woody in about 6 yards.
Okay, that's going to be the question. D. Wood, at what yard line would he have caught you? If that's you by some accident in that situation making that pick, at what point does he catch you?
Hey, first of all, Dominique going to have to put some respect on my name. You acting like I wasn't an athlete out there, okay?
No, I would probably say,
hey, I would say like 15 yards, he would have sucked me up real quick. Because at that point, that's all a lineman can give you. I'm only good for a few yards, Greeny. Everybody else, y'all got to do the rest of the work. So, yeah, he would have got me real quick.
Speaking of putting respect on his name.
You're going to put some respect on my name, Nick.
Wait, and we have to put respect on another name.
Lou, you had on like lineman pads when you were the Cleveland Browns.
One more.
Hey,
put respect on Shefty's name. Come on, take a look. Show me the video. Adam Shefty. At what point, Shefty, does he catch you?
Hey, you don't have to put any respect on my name. Don't put any respect on my name, because he would have caught me right away. I probably would have blown out my Achilles before he caught me, and I would have made it even easier for him. Don't put any respect on my name right now. Don't do that.
I will tell you what.
Why are you grimacing?
I'm not making fun of anybody. I probably would have dropped the ball, so it wouldn't have made any difference. He wouldn't have to caught me. Guys, great fun this morning. Thank you for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.